Due to his reputation as a piano player, Mahler managed to obtain a booking agent, one Gustav Levy. Boy, oh boy, did Mr. Levy fall into a good thing. He would be Mahler's agent, or impresario, as he called himself, for the next 10 years. Gustav Mahler, the greatest conductor of his age, began his career in the tiny 200-person theater at the Spa of Bad Hall in Upper Austria. Within just a few weeks, Mahler realized that he had found a calling. It's been pointed out, quite correctly, I think, that Mahler's desperate need for activity could never have been satisfied by the relatively quiet life led by most contemporary composers. Now, of course, Mahler claimed that it was because he did not receive the Beethoven Composition Prize in December of 1881 for Das Klagende Lied that conducting became a necessary vocation. Again, we quote Mahler. If the conservatory jury, which included Brahms, Goldmark, Hanslick, and Richter, had given me the prize of 600 gulden, my whole life would have taken a different course. I should not have had to go on conducting and would have been spared my whole vile conducting career. I was and always will be condemned to the hell of the theater, unquote. Well, fudge in a bucket. In reality, and in the long run, the prize, this 600 gulden, would not have made a whit of difference. Mahler craved stimulation, a performance venue for his extraordinary gift of interpretation, the instant gratification of live performance, an outlet for his tyrannical will, a career path for which he could direct his extraordinary ambition, and the limelight. His career as a conductor gave him all of this and more. He would not, could not, have been the composer he was without the stimulation afforded by his career as a conductor. He knew it, and we know it. And so began the career. Mahler's next job was as conductor at the Landestheater in Laibach. It was there that Mahler conducted his first opera, Giuseppe Verdi's Il Trovatore, on October 3rd, 1881. Mahler learned on the job. His career and his apprenticeship were one and the same. And from the beginning, Mahler's attention to detail and enthusiasm were noticed by audiences and critics alike. No one seemed to notice that he was a rank beginner. And on October 27th, 1881, 26 days after conducting his first opera, he conducted Mozart's The Magic Flute to rave reviews. The days of poverty were almost over. Mahler's next conducting position took him to the Stadttheater in Olmütz in Moravia. When Mahler assumed this position in January of 1883, the theater was nearly bankrupt and in dire artistic straits. Like a scene from a Hollywood Western, a 23-year-old Gus Mahler rode into town and somehow, with his enthusiasm and zero tolerance for mediocrity, managed to turn the company around. It was at Olmütz, while conducting a brilliant, or so said the newspapers, performance of Carmen from memory, that Mahler came to the attention of both the Dresden and Kassel operas, operations an order of magnitude or two more important than Olmütz, Loserville. In October of 1883, 9 months after taking the job at Olmütz, and but 3 years after he first picked up a baton, Mahler assumed the position of music and choral director of the Kassel Theater. At that time, the German, and we should say the Prussian Burg of Kassel, boasted a population of over 100,000. The Kassel Theater itself sat 1,600. While Mahler's administrative duties at Kassel were considerable, they were dwarfed by his problems with the musicians he had to work with. True to form, on his arrival, Mahler set out to reform the opera company and to raise it to his ever higher standards. Soloists, chorus, and orchestra found themselves rehearsing works they thought they knew for tens, sometimes hundreds of hours, to the point of absolute exhaustion. Many years later, Mahler recalled his conducting style at Kassel, and I quote,